welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I'm going to talk about an area which can change your life. If one, you can hear with your spiritual ears, and if two, you can put it to work in your life. And you can do both. You can hear with your ears, your spiritual ears, and if you do that, you can put it to work in your life. Whether you will is totally up to you. But you can live your life by this, and it will change every circumstance. I promise you, I can communicate that personally. And Hillary can. We're still on a journey, but it's a great journey. It gets better and better every day. We're able to scale greater heights of mountains that would seek to come against us because of what I'm going to share this morning. So let me turn you to Mark's Gospel. Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 14. And when he, that's Jesus, came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation." Wow, what a response from Jesus. "O faithless generation." You should underline that word. Faithless. In other words, it's indicating there's a lack of faith. Faithless generation. "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything," says the father, "have compassion on us and help him." And Jesus said to him, this verse underlined in your Bible. It is key to your Christian living. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I want to use that as my premise for start off today. That verse that we've just read, verse 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now pay attention to that. The question isn't believing. The question is if you can believe. Belief is available for all of us, for Jesus Christ is the one that we believe in. God Almighty is the one that we are to believe in. The issue isn't whether believing in them is going to be of any value to us. Jesus immediately rebuked the deaf and dumb spirit, came out of him, and this young, would have been called an epileptic in today's times, this epileptic that had no control over him because there was a spirit inside of him and he was just doing with it as he would. Can you imagine a spirit inside of a strapping man or a boy or a woman and just doing with them as they want? Jesus handled the spirit, and he turned to the people and he He said to them, if you can believe, verse 23, all things are possible to him who believes it. Do you underline it in your Bible? All things. Say it with me. All are possible to him. Let's say it again together. All things are possible to him that believes. It's not possible. The impossible is impossible to those that don't believe. And we're going to take a little journey to see what does that mean and how can we fulfill it in our lives. Because all things are possible to those that believe. Now, let's use that as our basis this morning. We are starting off on this premise that God says to every one of us here, all things are possible. There's no exclusions there. Now, right now, I don't know what circumstances you may be in or not. But I do know this. Whether you're in any or not at the moment, wherever there comes a problem that seems impossible, God says, there's an answer to that. For all things are possible to those that believe. You've got to get that into your spirit, not your head. You haven't got to pick out what Pastor's talking about this morning. You've got to let the words penetrate your spirit. Whoa, that's another dimension. My brain can't work around that one because this can't work with my head. This can only work with my spirit, man. All things are possible to those that believe. You don't believe with your head. You believe with your heart. You cannot believe with your intellect. If you're believing with your intellect, you do not know God. Simple as that. You cannot know God by knowing him with your intellect. You can only know God after and by the Holy Ghost. Because it's he that leads you and I into truth. This can't lead you into truth. This can be informed by my spirit. When my heart has a revelation of the promise of God, then my mind can start to understand what my spirit knows. So all things are possible to those that believe. Let me now turn you to Well, let's stay in Mark. Let's go to Mark 11. Let's break in at verse 12. Now, the next day, when Jesus and his disciples, they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, to the tree, he didn't talk to his disciples, he talked to the tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Just to save you going on a wasted journey, don't get caught up with why did he say that to the fig tree? Because probably if you've read it, you've thought like I have, and there's so many times I have gone back and rethought it and retried to get the wisdom of God as to why did he do that? You understand? Why did he do that to that tree? You're unfair, Jesus. It wasn't the season for figs, and yet you did that to it, you know. So forget that. Don't be distracted with such a little thing when there is a mountain of good thing to receive if you can get the revelation that all things are possible to those that believe. Okay? Because that's what Jesus was about trying to communicate to us. That you and I that believe can do just what he's going to demonstrate. You understand? Don't happen to be a fig tree. Well, let's go back to the scriptures. He said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Let's just move on to verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Oh, what amazing that, isn't it? Let's leave that alone, but it's quite amazing. Because Jesus is deliberately going out of his way here to communicate something, not just to his disciples then, but to the you and I of today. He's going out of his way. This is not an accident. This is God through Christ at work. Hallelujah. So Jesus answered in verse 22 and said to them, have faith in God. For as surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, in this context, the mountain was the tree. But in other words, what he's simply saying, whatever the issue is, whatever the problem is, whatever the immovable object is, whatever the thing is that you cannot get round and you need to, he said, whatever that is, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, without going past this, in this particular context, he has given us everything here. Let's just look at it briefly. The first thing he says, have faith in God. You got faith in God? If you have faith in God, we believe God enough, as Peter did, when he stood in the boat, saw the apparition, said, is that you, Jesus? He said, it is. He said, if it is you, and it's dark, remember, he says, bid me that I come walk on the water. And Jesus spoke to him and said, come. And as a result of that, Peter walked on the water. He says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done. Now the Lord says, all things are possible to those that believe. Now he said, here, speak to the mountain and say, be thou removed. So in other words, what is your problem? Okay, get it in your mind right now. What is the biggest obstacle in your life right now? Okay, get it there. Now what God's saying to you and to me is stand before the mountain and say, be thou removed. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. Clear it off wherever you, but be thou removed from here. Never return. In the name of Jesus. That's what he's saying to do. He said, and it shall be removed. Now, this is a point in time when the enemy comes in and he wants to cut you off from the life of the Holy Spirit, and he does it easily because we start thinking with the head. And we start trying to work out, how's that going to happen? But God says, we are to speak to the mountain. That's all he told us to do. You speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Hallelujah. And it shall be removed. Just like the fig tree. Notice what he goes on to say. Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. The double-minded man will never get what they say. Will never. You've got to start line up with the circumstances and say, well, they're good and bad and there's not much I can do about it. Or you line up with God and say, whatever God says, I can do. But in between is going to go nowhere. Look at this. Whosoever says this man, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he saith will be done, he will have whatever he says. Slowly as we're talking it together, note something's coming forth here. And there are two particular aspects to it. One is that you've got to believe with your heart. You've got to believe with your spirit, man. Not this. Don't try and work out how this can happen, because the devil's got you off course straight away. But God says, speak to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And don't doubt. Don't wonder how it's going to happen. Oh, that's okay. I've said it, but I can't see it. You know. He says, don't doubt. Doubt is the enemy of faith and believing. It's a logical thing. Isn't it? A logical thing. But you know what our problem is? We are not logical people. We are spirit-filled people, led and directed by the Holy Ghost, not with an intellect. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Is that okay? So what have we learned here? We've got to speak to the mountain, whatever it is. And we've got to tell it to do what you need it to do. Get out of the way, whatever. I don't care whether that's health, sickness, finances, impossible circumstances in the family. You've got to speak against that, and as the Lord has said, and trust in God. Watch it start to happen. God will do it. There's not a thing in our lives right till this day, I think I'm right in saying, that we haven't functioned this way in. And I can't confess that every time it's happened immediately. I can't tell you that, because it wouldn't be right. But we've seen it happen. We've seen the mountain moved, and the mountain's gone. No longer there. But you have to apply the word, and doubt doesn't have to be in your thinking. But I wanted to take you here to help you a little bit, picking up on verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, now watch this, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you've got to just start confessing that you've received them. You've got to start confessing that you've received. You've heard, how many have heard of Yonggi Chao? Yeah. Any of you read his books? Well, there's a part in one of his books. We had the privilege of meeting with him in Korea, in his fantastic work that God's raised there. But when God started to show him these truths like this, he said he took it literally. He's got to confess it. He confessed it. So he was very, very poor. He was just a young man starting off in the ministry on his own. No money. The country was very poor at that time. And he realized that he had to do what God said. So he started doing what God said. And he needed a chair, a desk, and a bicycle. And he started praying for these things, and he went out and he started to confess it. And he had a class that of young people that he taught, and they would come to his home and didn't have anything, and he would tell them, he's got to start confessing this. He started saying, you know, I've got my bike, and I've got my table, and I've got my chair. And these young guys were saying there's something wrong. You know, how can this man be telling us this when there's nothing in the room? There's still nothing in the room, and there's no bicycle. And so he kept on telling them. And then one day they spoke to him and said, how are you telling us you've got all these things and they're not here? He says, yes, I have. He says, how can you have? He says, I am pregnant with them. Think about that. I've got them here. I've got them. They're here. They're here, you see. They're here. He's still confessing. They're not manifest yet, but they're here. Have you handled your mountain like that? Do you continue to deal with it on the basis that you believe already that you have received what you need to? Or do it the other way around? I can't get this. This is too big. There is nothing too big for God. And God says, in the name of Jesus, speak to your mountain. And do not doubt. But believe that you receive. And start walking around saying, I believe that I've received. Just like Yongyi Chao. I believe that I've received. Say it with me. I believe that I've received. Let's say it again. I believe that I receive.
I believe that I receive.
Amen. Do you? Let's say it again. I believe that I receive.
I believe that I receive.
This is the way forward for you to change your life and change your circumstances. There is nothing that can stand before you and I. Don't back off because it doesn't just disappear in a moment. God's word is what you're believing in. Not your intellect, not your ability to say it strongly or otherwise, but to say it, believing that you will receive it, because that's the word of God. Our faith is in nothing other but this word of God. Our faith is not in the feeling. Our faith is not in some teaching. Our faith is in what this word says. If this word says it, you can stand on it. It doesn't matter how long you need to stand on it for, you can stand on it, but stay standing on it. My experience is a lot of people start to stand on it, and they walk away from it. It's gone off the boil. They hardly think about it very much now because it didn't happen immediately. Listen, it will go. The mountain will be removed. God's word cannot fail. Though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come to pass. How do we do this? How do we do it more practically? Well, the Bible tells us something powerful here in Mark before we move away from it. It says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to be audible and heard. You can speak it out. You can speak it to others. But you've got to be bold enough to speak it. And I encourage you to confess it to other people. We've got that property that we were trying to purchase. We've got it. Praise God, we've got it. So you can confess it. They say, well, where is it? Well, like Yongyi Chao, well, we've got it. We've got it. Who are you believing? The people that say, oh, you couldn't, if you haven't got it, do you really think you're going to get it? Or the word of God says, if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. We've got to get hold of God's language. The language of God is in fact a language. He started to say in Mark 11 there, whosoever shall say, talk to it. Say it, talk to it. The scripture talks about that. Last week I started to talk about love, and I'm following through in another way, but I will go back to it, because it's about faith. The Bible says that faith, hope, and love, these three, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I started to touch last week why that's important, to know and have love in our lives. How much do you love? How much do you love anybody? I mean anybody. Yeah, the people you don't like very much. How much do you love them? It's not your love, it's the love of God that's in us that should be able to flow from us to touch lives. God's love in us. Love is the greatest. And why is it the great, and why is it so important? Because what we are teaching this morning cannot happen without love flowing through you. The Bible says there remain three, faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest. You see, the Bible says faith worketh by love. So if we're going to have to believe, that's faith. Faith is belief. Belief is faith. It's going to be hard to stand on if you don't love. See, love is the greatest, because it's that word for love in 1 Corinthians 13 is agape. It's the love that describes who God is. God is agape. And that agape has got to flow in our lives to one another, not just to our friends and families, but be there. The attitude has got to be bottom line love. Love is the greatest. And faith and hope are totally dependent on love. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If love isn't flowing, then there's no faith. If there's no faith, there's no hope. There's no hope. So we have to get hold of this. We have to get the importance of applying this word correctly to our lives, rather than thinking, well, I just got to grab a scripture and run with it. If love isn't there, faith can't function. Did you hear me? Say it with me. If love isn't there, if love isn't there,
love
if love isn't there, faith can't work. That's what the Bible says. If love isn't there, faith can't work. Faith works by love, the scripture says. So, faith is required to have love in it. But to keep us focused on faith this morning, let me just highlight another important area of our ability to exercise faith. It is because we speak out the word of God concerning the circumstance. Let the redeemed turn there with us. Let's turn there. Psalm 107. Look at this. Psalm 107. Verse 2, I believe. Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord do what? I'm redeemed. Now, what does that mean? It means I've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. This mountain can't stay there. Because God is not going to put a mountain in front of you and block your way. The enemy does that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So what I'm wanting us to grasp afresh and be reminded of is the importance of our speech. We need to speak out the word of God. We need to confess, for instance, what we read there in Mark 11, in Mark 9. We need to confess with our mouth those things. Let us confess with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that we have been redeemed from this. Why will I submit myself to something that Jesus Christ went to the cross to redeem me from? I've been delivered from the power of darkness, and so have you. So we need to speak it out with our mouth. The scripture says, we read in first, I didn't emphasize it much, but we read in Mark 11, that the redeemed of the Lord say so. We've got to learn to confess with our mouth. Let me say this to you. I've probably said it to you before. Faith speaks. Faith speaks. You can take that whichever way you want. If you are a person of faith, you will speak out what you believe. It will also be found in your mouth. If you have an issue or a problem, you will speak out what the word says. Faith speaks. Faith doesn't talk about the problem. Faith doesn't describe the problem. Faith declares the word of God. Faith speaks. Hallelujah. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. So, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. So we need to get hold of the importance of confessing the word, confessing what we believe. We have in the same spirit of faith, it is a spirit of faith, it's a spirit of God, it's a spirit of the Holy Spirit in us. We have in the same spirit of faith, speak. We speak what we believe. And so we talk. I talk to invisible things all the time. I talk the word of God to it. I had a biggest struggle. I was out of church for 2 Sundays, I think. I can't think beyond that the time I was out of church. Years. And why? You probably heard me say it before. Because I speak to the issue. That couple of weeks was the biggest head-on confrontation that the devil and I have had for a long time. We have to speak. Don't go by emotions, don't go by feelings, don't go by circumstances. Go by this word. Because my time's gone. I want to just, you've heard a lot, I know a lot of this you know basically, but my question to you, and I sense a reason that God wanted me to talk to you about it because of where you're at, where we are at as a church, where our sanctuary is at, where our town is at and needs us to be effective in the hand of God rather than people that come to church. But people who are walking pillars of dynamic spiritual power and authority. And that's brought about by a confession. Believe that you receive, and you shall have. Is that what it said? Jesus said to that father of the epileptic, he said, all things are possible to those that believe. That believe. How do you believe? You confess. You confess. All things are possible to those that believe. So we as Christians, we have the same spirit of faith, so therefore we confess with our mouth what we believe with our heart. Any mountains? You have any mountains today? I just want to encourage you. Destroy the mountains in your life. Destroy the mountains that hinder this house being a house where people want to clamor to because they have a sense of the presence of Jesus in it. Love is flowing. Where love flows, the dynamic power that is invested in Christ flows by the Holy Ghost. If you sense that in BCC, for instance, there could be greater anointing of the Holy Spirit, then stand with faith in your heart, faith in your mouth, and declare what God's word says about the house of the Lord. Don't describe it as it is, describe it as God describes it. Speak it into being. Speak it into being. Don't talk about those things that are not, speak about those things that are. Hallelujah. And we only do that on the basis, we can only do that because we set ourselves to change our lifestyle. Now, if you leave this place, or I leave this place, and we've talked about the scriptures, we've looked at some of them, and put a little bit of meat on, not much, but we put a little bit of meat on, and go and have lunch and forget it, then nothing's going to be achieved. It needs to start to happen in your life and in my life. Starting today. The Bible says the basis, the premise for that is that we believe that we receive. So whatever you have asked God for, whatever you have stood against from that moment on, start walking through your day saying, I believe, I receive. Because the Bible says, whosoever believes that they receive has. Glory to God. So just start walking through your day, whatever that one or two things are that you've put before God, you've confronted the devil on, you've stood on the word, whatever it is, according to the word that is, from there on start confessing, I believe that I receive it. I don't know, let's say you're looking for a new house. I believe I receive that new house. Maybe that debt that's got to be cleared. I believe I receive debt-free status. I believe I receive it. I believe on the authority of the word. There is an intermediary between you and God, or me and God. There's an intermediary. It's this word. It's only this word that you stand on. No clever thought. It's what this word says. This is the word. This you can take to the bank and they'll pay up on it. Every time you'll stand on this word and not doubt, heaven comes forth with the goods. It's a done deed. It's already finished. Jesus said that. Glory to God. I don't know about you. I think a lot of people have different opinions about what I'm going to communicate now briefly. And that is when Jesus said, it is finished, when he was on the cross. There was a lot of other things that they were thinking, but I believe that he was saying, it's finished, the new is here and the old is out. The old covenant has come to an end. It is finished. Praise God, the new covenant is in play. And we're living in it. We're living in it. No longer law, but all grace. What does that mean? God's in my life. God's on my side. Hallelujah. Listen to the scriptures. What does he say about favor? I will bless the righteous. Listen to that. Who's righteous? Anyone that's born again truly of the Spirit of God is righteous. What does the scripture say? I will bless the righteous with favor. I will surround him as with a shield. Whoa, my Lord. My God. If we stand on this word, we have one intermediary. When I take this word and apply it by faith, nothing doubting, simply confessing, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it. Father, I thank you for it. Don't understand it, but I believe your word, because the word says it shall surely come to pass. Hallelujah. That's what it says. Believe that you receive and you shall have. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Hallelujah. So let's say daily, throughout the day, I believe that I receive what I've stood on in the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.